Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now have a listen to this.
In a little while from now, if I'm not feeling any less sour, I promise myself to treat myself and visit a nearby tower. And climbing to the top, will throw myself off.
Unlikely as it may sound, that song, Alone Again Naturally, a hit for the Waterford singer-songwriter Gilbert O'Sullivan back in 1972, changed the course of hip-hop and rap music in a very profound way. Adam Maguire of the RTÉ Business Desk is here to tell us why. This is an intriguing one, Adam.
Yeah, it's an odd one, isn't it? Yeah. So that song, as you say, Alone Again Naturally, released in Ireland and the UK in early 1972. At the same time, though, on the other side of the Atlantic, particularly in New York, and it should be said completely separate from Gilbert O'Sullivan, there was a new musical movement taking shape. So originally known as disco rap, it developed into what we now know as hip hop. Although the disco rap name kind of gives you a clue there as to where we're going with this, because a lot of the scene developed from DJs taking popular disco and funk records, messing around with them on turntables, you know, slowing them down, speeding them up, looping parts, mixing bits together and so on to create something totally different. And because disco wasn't very lyrics heavy, there was big gaps then, which allowed beatboxers and rappers then to add things on top of that. And it all started as a kind of underground movement. It would be individual DJs crafting these things, often, you know, on the fly at block parties or nightclubs. And they were constantly developing new sounds and techniques that would give them kind of different results as well. And so over the course of the 70s, hip hop develops and mixing and recording technology improves, which, you know, allows for the sound to become more elaborate. And you go from DJs blending two records together on their turntable to pieces of music that contain a beat from one song, strings from another, you know, a hook or a refrain somewhere else, some backing vocals looped, and then the rapper adds their original vocals on top. So that all happens over the course of the 70s. And in a lot of ways you can kind of argue that what was happening with hip hop kind of is similar in spirit to what we'd know in the folk tradition of artists kind of borrowing tunes and lyrics from older songs, maybe existing songs, incorporating it into their own style, putting a twist on them, making it something new and creating new songs out of it. It's a similar kind of idea as what was going on with
hip-hop. Right, but then the money comes along and things start to change.
Yeah, because, you know, all of this borrowing of beats and music is fine when, you know, you're talking about an informal and kind of niche movement. You know, and in the early days, artists probably didn't even know that their music was being, you know, used in this way by DJs in New York. But hip-hop develops into a fully fledged genre through the 70s and into the 80s, and record labels start to take notice, money starts to come in, and then things start to change. So, you know, for example, Sugar Hill Gang's Rapper's Delight, which came out in 1979, seen by many to be the kind of first mainstream hit in the genre, the music from that is basically two existing tracks mixed together, which is Chic's Good Time and Love Deluxe's Here Comes That Sound Again. They initially released the song without crediting anybody, any of those artists, and it only happens that Nile Rodgers happens to hear an early version in a nightclub, threatens to sue, and he gets his name added as a credit shortly after the early release.
Well, let's hear it. Rapper's Delight.
I said a hip hop, the hip it, the hip it, the hip hop, you don't stop the rocker, do the bang bang boogie, say up jump the boogie to the rhythm of the boogie to beat. Now what you hear is not a test, I'm rapping to the beat, and me, the groove, and my friends are gonna try to move your feet. You see, I am Mike, and I like to say hello to the black, to the white, the red, and the brown, and the purple, and yellow. But first,
yeah, it's still really good. Let's hear the original now.
You can immediately hear it there. They took Nile Rodgers' guitar
Absolutely,
line there.
Yeah.
It actually wasn't a sample. It was an interpolation. They basically re-recorded new music using the same sound rather than actually playing out the original rapping over. Still, though, they copied him. And the idea, I suppose, of copying other people's compositions isn't new. You know, there's, you know, some kind of precedent when that happens. But the 70s and even into the 80s, the sampling of another song is new and people just don't know how to deal with it. So that's where you actually take the original recording and chop it up. And right. obviously, you know, if someone copies someone's song entirely, their tune, there's a copyright issue there. But if they're taking a, you know, a 2 second fragment of a song and looping it, maybe to the point that it's hardly even recognisable, does that count as copyright infringement? Well, you know, what if it's one of 20 samples in a song? You know,
yeah, it starts to get complicated.
It gets complicated.
So where then does Gilbert O'Sullivan come into this?
Yeah, okay, so we fast forward to the 1990s. Rapper called Biz Markie is working on his third studio album. One of the songs on there is called Alone Again, and in it he loops that intro piano part from the Gilbert O'Sullivan song, and then in between the kind of rap verses on the chorus he sings Alone Again, naturally very similar to the Gilbert O'Sullivan song.
Well, let's hear it.
I put the mic on my head and began to rip. The crowd began to flip because I was rocking the ship. When we was done, I started to laugh. Mars and people come to me for my autograph. After the funk was over, it was time to break. If I was riding, it would be the icing on the cake. As I saw Shantae get into a limo, I had to walk home. I wrote it in my memo. I'm alone again, naturally. All alone again.
Yeah, it's definitely there. We'll just remind ourselves of Gilbert's original track.
Yeah.
Oh, there it is. Is that it?
Well, yeah, it's
exactly so like it. I didn't notice the changeover.
And in fairness to him, you know, he and his label do write Gilbert O'Sullivan to ask for his blessing in music, because obviously there's no doubt that he's taken inspiration from the song.
Fool me.
And a 20 year song at the time as well. O'Sullivan says he wants to hear the song before he will give it his blessing. They send it to him, he hears it, he decides he doesn't want it to be used, and so he turns down the request. And the problem then is that Biz Markie says, to hell with it, I'm going to use it anyway. And he puts it in his 1991 album. Now, in fairness, he had done this before with a previous album and a previous song and got away with it. So maybe he thought that would happen again. But O'Sullivan takes a different tact and sues the record label. The court rules in his favour. It says the unauthorised use of the song samples, constitutes copyright infringement. So they have to pay $250,000. They have to halt album sales. He's actually referred for criminal charges then. The judge really takes a hard line. He quotes the Bible and everything in his ruling, saying death shall not steal. And I think part of the problem is as well, they asked for permission first, got refused and did it anyway. So it was clear they knew they needed to get permission for that. And this was the first, there were other cases and other kind of out of court settlements, but this is the first one that goes to court, gets a ruling, and it becomes the precedent then for the industry, basically.
So what was the impact then that it had on the music industry?
Well, it basically has a chilling effect on the use of samples. You know, you had an example with Beastie Boys' Paul's Boutique, which came out in 89, had 104 samples across the album. That just wouldn't be possible basically after this ruling. It would cost millions to kind of clear all those samples, so that album just wouldn't have been made. And it means that the style of production from the early 90s on shifts to a much lighter approach. So you have like Dr. Dre's The Chronic in 1992 only using a handful of samples, a lot of kind of in-studio instrumentation and adding his own beats in, rather than this layering of, you know, 20 samples in each song as well. And it completely changes the way hip hop and rap sounds, and that's still the way it is now. It's had that effect, you know, whatever, 30, 40 years later, that still had an influence, because it would just be too expensive to heavily sample like they were doing in the 70s and 80s.
Okay, Gilbert O'Sullivan changed the world. Adam?
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Adam McGuire.